Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
She's an inspiring entrepreneur, the founder and director of a portal that she started when she faced a problem herself as a mom trying to find meaningful flexi work. So she helps moms find flexible work arrangements, moms who want to start small businesses from their home, and employers who want to hire back-to-work female talent who want to set up flexible work arrangements as well. We've also invited her today to share her experiences on starting a business. I understand she says it's running a business with a home office is like trying to run a 10-kilometer marathon, holding on to a little squirmy three-year-old with a 5-kilogram backpack and a poodle on a leash. Well, that sounds tough, Shirley Tory. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Michelle.
Good to have you with us. She's the founder and director of Mums at Work. So lots of mums listening in, Shirley. Can you help us understand how your portal, Mums at Work, helps mums with the whole area of money?
I think because our main focus has always been trying to support women that wanted flexible work arrangements. So we have a job portal that is kind of reserved, meaning that you have to sign in, you have to be a mom to be able to access these jobs that are genuine flexible work arrangements. And because we've been doing it for about 12 years now, so a lot of these jobs are what we call the real jobs, meaning that it wasn't a case of the pandemic, you know, the company just convert a role to flexible work arrangement. Mm. It is still real jobs that have flexibility to them, and we've been doing it, and I think the great news is that obviously the numbers have increased in that sense. We also support mompreneurs, so mothers who run small businesses from home like myself, mm-hmm. by having training programs. We partner companies like Meta or LinkedIn or things that basically help businesses to grow. And we also have a lot of networking events. Prior to COVID, obviously these were in person, but now we do more of them online or in hybrid style.
I love the idea that you have real flexible jobs on your site. Now tell us, as you match these jobs to your members, and you have some 49,000 members now,
what
kind of work flexibility are you hearing that mums want from workplaces?
Actually, I think it's really interesting because I know sometimes employers come to me and say, hey, Shirley, what's the best work arrangement? And what's been interesting, it really varies from mother to mother and also varies from job to job, because some jobs, the nature of it is, for example, you cannot work from home every single day. There will probably be a day or two that you may have to still go back to the office, for example, right? So there's what we call work from home. But there's also part-time work. There are also what we call odd hours. So I know cases where they come in at 7 or 7:30 and then they end at 1 or 2 or 3. So those are really matching the typical, child in the school timings. And then 2 p.m. they're back. They're free to go back to home to work if they want, or if they don't, maybe that's where the job stops. So I would say that the best flexibility comes from organizations that really say, hey, this is our job requirement. This is what we suggest. This is work for you. And normally this is done during the interview. So I think a lot of member moms have actually shared with me, the best managers over the years, they realize, are the ones that say, let's work with you. Let's see how we can make the entire work and time arrangement work out for you so that you are your best performance.
Yeah, the best work managers listen. They're great listeners.
Yes, correct.
How do you ensure that the jobs on your portal are real flexible jobs, as you say?
Yeah, so what we do is it's not an automatic listing. We ask a couple of questions and we do check. And one of the questions, for example, we asked is prior to COVID, what was the previous arrangement? That's one thing. A second thing is also with the jobs when they come in, we do look at the requirements and the job duties. I think that's a big part that we look at, because sometimes companies can be quite, I would say, not so enlightened, meaning that they may actually put up a role that requires, say, full-time work, but they will market it as, oh, you just have to come in for half a day. So you realize that it's not possible. And then we do call the companies up and say, hey, this is not practical, because you've pretty much tried to squeeze a job that requires a lot of time and commitment into half a day, do you want to relocate? And I think some companies are quite fair. They will say, oh, I didn't know this, right? But there are some who are like, oh, no, it's going to work out. It used to be okay with a full-time job. Now it's okay. This person can work half-time. But it's not really about working half-time. You've not really half the workload. So the person's probably going to burn out. Earlier years, I didn't know this. And then I saw cases where, you know, the moms would complain and say, I went in, but it's really a full-time job. And I'm forced to finish it in 4 hours, for example. It's not possible. So
it's what can you realistically expect a person to work during that half day and do during that half day, right?
Yes, correct. So it's a lot of that kind of, you know, the way I see it is, it's not just about us trying to just match and get the women hired.
Right.
It's just about educating employers differently, you know, and we go back to them and talk about it. So usually they're quite open. I mean, they don't come back to us and scream at us. They're like, oh, you know, I got it. And then sometimes you say, oh, then maybe this is not the right portal. So you say, yeah, fine, that's fine. You know, so I think we've always run by that principle and that hasn't changed.
That's fantastic. And good to know that membership is free for women who want to find work through Mums at Work, right?
Yes, correct. It is, always will be.
Fantastic. Now, we know that for mums finding work that meets the various different hats that they wear means different challenges. But do you think it's easier for mums to do that now? Have workplaces come some way in Singapore in meeting this need for flexibility?
I think so. I think compared to a decade ago when we started, obviously the term flexibility is so much more easily understood. And I think actually two things have been, you know, really been at play here. One is obviously the understanding, I would say the enlightenment of the employers about flexibility. But there's also something else happening. I think on the home front, to be honest, I think family members, spouse, especially the other half, they really started to meet halfway, you know. And I say this because I find that the expectations on mothers are, it is tough, but I find that compared to the earlier years, the complaints or the feedback from the member moms was, you know, I'm working flexibly at work, but, you know, my husband will throw everything to me and make me do all the additional, you know, the frill stuff, which it's almost like even if a mom is working flexibly, for example, there'll be cases where everyone in the house thinks, assume she's still full-time because she's working from home, she can do everything still, you know. So I think recently, last few years, there's been a lot of talk by the government, obviously, but I think it's really this societal acceptance that, you know, trying to make the family work and therefore allowing the work environment, the workplace is one stakeholder, but the other stakeholder is actually also the family members. If they help out, then the mum doesn't feel so stressed. And I'm speaking a little bit from my own experience too. So I would say this, that if everybody helps out and meets me halfway, I find like I'm not, the juggling isn't so tiring, you know, because when one part gets tired, someone helps me to hold that ball up. And so I don't feel like I have to drop everything at the same time.
Yeah, you know, why is it that it's always mums that have to hold up the ball? It's not a, you know, given that it's all our responsibilities. A friend of mine was just sharing with me, his daughter was auditioning for The Sound of Music, got the role, by the way. And when he was lining up there and waiting for hours, he said, he's a stay-at-home dad, he works from home, and he said, I realized, Michelle, that behind every successful child is a waiting parent. And
you
don't realize that mums who do this, who line with their children, who wait with them at tuition, this is valuable time.
Yes, it is. And I think one of the reasons why we also went into bringing women back to work was because I saw women, and interestingly, when we bring women back to work, I kind of use we have a subsidiary called Career Navigators, which we use whenever we find that it's women who are not moms, but they're caregivers. They go through the same challenges. So we use that branding just because in the past there were women that came forward to say, I'm not a mom, but, you know, I've taken time off work, right? What's interesting is women as caregivers, if they stop work entirely, when they want to come back in, it's a very unfair, the job hunt is terrible. I think your friend, being a stay-at-home dad, if he ever chooses to come back to work, he'll face the same challenges, right? And what's interesting to me is, again, society hasn't fully adjusted to say, hey, let me give some some recognition of who you are as a person when you choose to be a caregiver. Because the long period of time that you spend taking care of your child, it also means that it's time away from your career, building up your career. And for a lot of women, it's a huge sacrifice. They took years to get to where they got. And then they say, well, because of children or because of family, I have to stop. And it's tough because when they want to come back out, they're told, sorry, the last 5 years, because you've been doing nothing, You're not worth anything. Yeah, and they tell me sometimes in interviews, I remember one mom cried quite badly. She said, in the interview, you told me I've been doing nothing for the last 5 years. And then she kind of vented on me. She's like, it's not like I've not been doing nothing. And I said, okay, you have to calm down.
Yeah.
But it's those things that I think the workplaces have changed. Companies are now more, I won't say all, but especially big MNCs, they're very aware of this. They say this is a pool of talent we haven't looked at. But it's also the home front, like I said, you know, the whole idea that the family also plays more important to say, hey, mommy, you're a homemaker, or hey, you're the daughter who you know, in a way, stopped your career for a while to look after your sick parents. But let's acknowledge that and say that it's worth something. It's not, you know, to your friend's point, the waiting parent, that waiting is time, it's precious time, and it's you giving it away, and at least give some kind of acknowledgement to it to say that it has value.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when it comes to the work front, the best kind of value that you can give to someone is to say in a job interview that I know you've been away, it's a meaningful purpose, it cannot be translated exactly into work experience, but I will take into account that it was done with a good intention, and he has a purpose, and therefore, you know, I give you an opportunity to still try to pitch for this job.
Great insights for employers who might be listening in. Speaking of the difficult landscape that, you know, mums or caregivers find when they try to come back to the workplace. Here in Singapore, we saw the release of a 115-page white paper, 25 action plans, 5 areas of focus, signifying the work and some concrete ideas on what can be done to help level that playing field when people try to come back. So it talked about equal opportunities at the workplace, support for caregivers, and other measures for women. What stood out for you, Shirley?
I think the biggest thing was really this whole idea of the support for caregivers, and recognizing it as a fundamental role, because I think that was really something that it's really a mindset shift, and that's where it's not always easy for employers to wear that hat when they are considering candidates, right? So when you push society to be more accepting of it, then you realize that over time, and I don't expect this to happen immediately, it will likely create more leeway for employers to say, let's think outside of the box, let's hire differently. What I also like, especially, was although I champion moms a lot, I find that, again, to my point, caregivers, and I find that most caregivers tend to be female, sometimes male, but for some reason, females always say, okay, I'll do it. I'm the daughter, I'll do it. You know, so I like the idea that there was a very encompassing idea. It's female caregivers, right? And obviously, I think males, we still have men write in to moms at work and apply and try to be a member. But most of the time, it's really been more a case of female caregivers. And they write their reasons down and you recognize this. And so I think in the white paper, that acknowledgement, that idea that, hey, I want to, you know, take that into account and please start recognizing that it's valuable, made a difference. And I remember some of the focus groups that we helped to host, that we helped to, you know, gather information, that was constantly brought up, like, please give me some credit for the fact that I did this, you know, it's 10 years of my most precious career time, but I gave it up and I don't want to regret it, and I don't regret it, but when I want to come back to work, can I not be so heavily penalized for it, you know? Yeah.
And what is that subsidiary that you have that helps caregivers find work again?
Oh, it's called Career Navigators. So we park it under Moms at Work umbrella, but really it's just that when women, they apply and they say, I'm not a mom, we just put them into the other database so that they still get the same information, but they don't feel like, you know, I'm not a mom. Like someone said to me once, I feel like I'm a spy coming in when I'm not a mom. But we didn't want to do that. But because by then, Moms at Work had been running for 6-7 years. And then there are also certain employers that say, well, we just specifically want to look at the mom pool for some reason, right? Then we'll use the Moms at Work branding. But it's really more behind the scenes and to really help. Because my biggest thing in running these organizations is I don't want women to feel in any way like are marginalized, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it, obviously it's on the front of work, but it's also on the idea of that your own personal choices, you know. You shouldn't be marginalized. For me, at the end of the day, you know, you chose family over work. That is really what I'm trying to go for, which is the idea that if a person makes a choice to choose family over work or say try to balance it, they shouldn't be penalized.
They shouldn't be discriminated when they then try to re-enter the workforce.
Yeah, re-enter the workforce
for that choice.
Or, yeah, or even apply for flexible work arrangement. You know, they, you know, sometimes their employers would say, "Oh, you know, because it's you work from home. This is prior to COVID. It's the same job, but because you work from home, we're gonna pay you like 75% of the actual pay." There were cases like that. So we usually turn these employers away. But the fact that an employer thinks like that, I mean, at that time, I remember thinking, "Wow, that's really." Bias, right? That's right. Your own thinking, right? So, and I think we've changed a lot in the last few years as a country. Yeah.
I'm sure COVID's impacted that. All right, Shirley Tory is the founder of Mums at Work. So if you're a caregiver looking for work, head to that website and you'll find some help there as well. Let's talk about women who are at work, who are zooming ahead, who have overcome all their challenges and they're breaking the glass ceilings. What sort of insights have you gleaned about how they've been able to do what they've done?
Oh, I have to be honest. I think very often when we meet women like that, because sometimes the employers themselves are also working moms, right? They will admit to us, you see, it's because they have a great support system. And the support system really is a family, right? I find that when mothers have, actually working parents, if they have a support system that includes, say, for example, the grandparents or a spouse that's very supportive, right? It's much easier for them. I remember a lot of the networking events or the employer hiring events that we do. Sometimes they will invite CEO or the CEO or the top, you know, management. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a female because they want to show a female role model. Very often in the conversations and speeches that I share, this individual will always mention, it's because I have a very supportive family. I have a very supportive spouse. I have someone that is helping me out. So you can actually tell that, and obviously it's not necessarily the case for every situation, but I think moms will agree with me. When you have a very trustworthy, very supportive family, you know, support, or you have a spouse that is very willing to partner you along the journey of both parenting but also supporting your career, you find that it's really going to work out. I find when sometimes member moms do come to us, they tell us stories, they say, you know, I want to keep growing in my career, but I'm forced to step back because when we look at my husband's career and my career, I decide that, you know, he feels his career is very important to him. But for me, I decided it's okay, I'll step back. So sometimes the interesting conversations I hear, and I do ask the next question is, are you happy about this? Because if you're not, a couple of years later, the anger is still there, right? So
when it's a tough choice to make, though. For a lot of women, they're not earning as much as the main breadwinner, and so they're being pragmatic and sacrificing their own desires and ambitions at the workplace.
Correct. Yes, yes. And that's why sometimes I think what's interesting for us, we see there will be females who are a little bit uncomfortable with it many years down the road. There's that unspoken
resentment,
I would say anger,
almost.
But resentment, yeah. You know, but it's almost like they try to psych themselves up and say, it's not so bad, it's not so bad. But I always tell them, you know, really go into this choice because you know why you're in it and find the good out of it, right? So like I mentioned, you don't have to step out entirely. Maybe you find something that's a bit more flexible that still makes you feel like you're contributing in your own way. Mm. And sometimes the resentment is towards the spouse. Sometimes it's also towards the children. Especially PSLE, I've heard a lot of PSLE's horrible stories. I've had mothers tell me, you know, I quit to look after my child during the PSLE, okay. So he better do well, you know, which it's a high order. It's a pretty tough thing to say. But I've heard it a couple of times, which also shows you that the mindset. So again, back to what I say, the work and family, they actually do go hand in hand in a way, you know. So in order for one area of it to thrive, I think the other area has to at least find some way to support you and balance you. And working moms would probably say that, you know, it's tough. And those who find it a little bit more, I won't say pleasant, but like, say it's less stressful for me, they will tell you, I have a good support system. I have a great, you know, grandparents helping out. Sometimes it's a helper. Sometimes it's even I've heard of things like aunts and uncles helping out, you know, they'll help
you. You need that network of many hands holding mum forward and up. Share with us some stories. I spoke with Inderjit Singh recently, and he really blew my mind with some great entrepreneurship advice. And he seems so passionate about this idea of freedom and creating your own business. What are some successful mumpreneur stories you have to share?
I think there's been quite a few in the last decade. I know of one example, of a mumpreneur who, when she first started, it's called Pop 6 Studio. When they first started, it was really from her kitchen table. And then they grew, it's a retail store that sells toys. Her husband joined her, and then they now have their own warehouse. And it's really a small business that grew massively. And I've also met other mumpreneurs who, when they first started off, again, it was from their home. And then over time, grew to become, you know, partnerships with other mumpreneurs. And they take on, you know, there's another company, I remember when she first started, it was very small. Then now she's actually a vendor of Disney, and they actually, you know, help to produce products that sold in, for example, Singapore Zoo and other tourist attractions. So I think what's interesting for a lot of mumpreneurs is, and this is a fundamental difference between mumpreneurs and regular entrepreneurs, has been that a lot of them usually, when they first start off, one of their main goals was to get the company, you know, get a job that basically allows them to have some flexibility. Because if you are running a business from home and their children are smaller, you kind of dictate the times that you work, right? They work just as hard. And a lot of mumpreneurs, I remember, they work at night. I always get emails from mumpreneurs like at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. And the fact that I'm up to zero. So, like, honestly. But they're always like group. It's very interesting because you can see how they will work the odd hours because, you know, there are certain times when the children are home and they will stop work. I know a mumpreneur, she sells diaper bags, and what happened was she used to stop work at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. sharp. You know, it doesn't matter if she would write it there, like our operating hours are to 3 p.m. And obviously, because it was online, you can do things like that. But then on the flip side, there were also cases where because their business grew so big, they realized that it was taking a toll on the family. The children were not, they hardly saw their kids because the amount of work they did. So some would actually call up and say, I want to sell my business. Usually these would be services like tuition. I remember there was a craft training, you know, entrepreneur. She used to teach craft. Mm-hmm. And you would think teaching craft, you know, can you make money? And she apparently did, and it grew very big. She had even had vendors, like she had partner trainers that came in to help her. And, you know, yeah. And then eventually she called me, she said, I have to sell it. I say, why are you trying to sell the business? She said, because I don't see my children anymore.
It defeats the whole point of it, right? Yeah. So she wanted to cash out.
Yeah.
Could she cash out?
I remember she was trying to sell through us, but there was no other mumpreneur who wanted the business because, as you can tell, it means that they also don't have that kind of timing.
Right.
So, in the end, she
challenging.
Said, no.
Divesting.
Yeah, very challenging.
So you need to give be ready to give up some sleep, but at the same time, know when to let go or get help on board to help you grow the business. We're all about money here on Money FM, so I have to ask you, Shirley, do you have any tips for mums who want to start their business with little to no startup capital?
I started with very little capital. Actually, I started with only, I think, $300. And I think if you really want to start out with very little capital, you have to be prepared to learn a lot of things at the beginning. A lot of the mumpreneurs that I work with really start up with very little capital. If they're doing products, it's going to be a bit more challenging because you have to pay up front and all that. But services, technically, like I know yoga trainers, yoga teachers, there's a fitness trainer, like a postnatal fitness trainer, mom, Pernia. I'm very sure her startup, I remember we were talking about it, it's not high. But the challenge with all this is usually, you know, you have to learn a lot of new things on your own. So I remember my website, the earlier ones, I did it myself. I learned how to many, many new things on my own. So that's the interesting thing about mumpreneurs. I have to give it to many, many of the mumpreneurs we have. We have about maybe 3,000 over in our database. They always want to learn. I love it because whatever we introduce, I remember when Google came to do a workshop on, you know, SEO, they were sitting there scribbling notes, and Google trainer told me, I've never met, you know, entrepreneurs sit down and scribble notes so much.
We are ferocious learners.
Ferocious. Because they always tell me, if I don't learn this by myself, I have to pay for it. I have to pay someone to do it. So I cannot afford it, I'll do it. So I also will be honest, I think the earlier years you could see those who were more willing to learn new things and try new things, they have been very successful. Some of them have been, their businesses have been around as long as mine. So it shows you that it's really that idea, you know, of saying, it's really a sole proprietor pushing themselves and then saying, what can I do by myself? What can I not? And then I outsource. So if you have a very small capital, you really have to know your own needs and your own talents. Some things that you can do well, you try to do by yourself. Things you cannot, no matter how you pick it up, you cannot. You must figure out, how am I going to outsource this so it's cheaper? But with that said, Michelle, there are many, many tools online these days that are so cheap, so easy to use, like Canva. My goodness, I remember Canva's introduction was like a miracle to us, because before that, every logo we had was be like $300 fees, $500 fees. Right?
Now you can make your own.
Yeah, now it's like $25 per month. We'll figure this out, right? So I think this is what I mean by 12 years ago, it was a much harder journey. You could barely do a website on your own.
Yeah.
12 years later now, I can honestly tell you the newer mompreneurs I've met, no problem. They figure this out. They're like, oh, Canva does this. You know, Wix does this. This does this. And I think, oh, you figure this all out by yourself, right? So it is very doable. I would say that, you know, capital shouldn't be your only excuse. I mean, if you are worried about money, I would say as long as you're willing to learn and willing to try new things, trying new skills, picking up new skills, chances are you're gonna get it figured out. Yeah.
Well, great insights. Fantastic speaking with you as always, Shirley. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Shirley Torrey is founder of Mums at Work Singapore. Started with $300, now has over 49,000 members. Remember, mums, you got to tap into that resilience. Don't let lack of money hold you back.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.